our son would have been the executor of the estate. Okay? Guardians, people who care for minor children upon the death of mom and dad. Now, this has had some attacks recently. There was a couple in Connecticut. Pastored his wife, godly people just like Chris and Jean. And they lived across the street from members of their church who had a three-year-old daughter. The mom and dad of the three-year-old had their trust prepared, had a will prepared. They nominated the pastor and his wife to be guardians. You nominate guardians, you don't appoint them. A judge always has final say on where your youngsters go. So you nominate guardians. So they nominated the pastor and his wife in case something was to happen to them. Mom and dad were killed in a car crash. Pastor's wife assumed they would get the three-year-old little girl. They put her in their home. Lady on their block wrote a letter to social services saying that the pastor and his wife were religious fanatics. Social services came in, took the little girl out of the home, and put her in a welfare state, in a foster home. The pastor's wife took it to court, Connecticut, lost. Took it to appellate court, lost. To the Connecticut Supreme Court, lost, because the judge had control. They were advised to take it to the U.S. Supreme Court. They never did it because it would take years to get on the docket if they could get on the docket. By the time it would have gotten through the Supreme Court, the three-year-old probably would have been a teenager. Then the court probably wouldn't have taken her out of that foster home. So this couple wrote an article, appeared in World Magazine in 2001. In the article, they recommended four issues when it comes to guardianship. Favor relatives over third parties wherever possible. Number one criteria on guardianship is a godly home. And if you don't have relatives that have a godly home, then you're going to have to step out of the relative environment. Why it's so wonderful to have a church like this. You've got people here who would want to be one we would love to have your kids. When I was younger, I think my wife and I don't know how many wills we were in as guardians. And we just prayed that they wouldn't go on a cruise and have a nice time. Develop a relationship between the child and the person you've named. We told our kids, when they were old enough to understand, if something happens to mom and dad, Uncle Don and Aunt Peg are going to be your new mom and dad. We wanted them to know that. That only became an issue when we disciplined them. They wanted it to happen right then. Name at least three potential guardians. Number one, alternate number two. Name three. Why? It'd be very difficult for a judge to turn down all three. Very difficult. Number four, you can write a testimonial in your will as to why you chose the guardians you chose. Family reasons, spiritual reasons, financial reasons. You're giving the judge all the information that he needs to make the decision you would have wanted him to make if you were here. Remember, that doesn't take place until you're gone. So that guardianship issue is a critical. You grandparents that are here, you want to make sure your kids have a will for your grandkids. Guardianship is handled through the will, even if you have a trust. You have a pour-over will. Trust cannot be with guardians because the judge has to be involved. A trust takes the court out of the scenario. Trustees are people designated to take care for money and property of another's benefit. Minors don't inherit money. If parents die of minors, the money goes into a trust fund managed by a trustee. Okay? Tenancy in common, tenancy by entirety, joint tenancy with right of survivorship is how you pass ownership outside of the will or trust. Typically out here you see the third one. Joint tenancy with right of survivorship. You went tomorrow to your bank. Tomorrow's a holiday. If you went Tuesday to a bank and checked your signature cards, you'd probably see you and your spouse's signature with the little initials JTRS. That means joint tenancy with right of survivorship. If one dies, a survivor has immediate access and immediate ownership. If you looked at the deeds to your property, you would probably see initials JTRS. So that the survivor gets immediate ownership and needed access to the property. State tax is the everything tax. That's an excise tax levied on the transfer of a person's property by the federal government in excess of the unified credit. This has gone through a lot of changes in the last 30 years. Right now, the unified credit is $5.25 million. If If I was worth the $5.25 million, the first $5.25 million passes to the heirs tax-free. The next dollar is taxed at, what is it right now, Anthony? Is it 37%?
35, yeah.
Yeah, it goes up to as high as 55. So right now, passing an estate is tax-free for most people. 99%, 95% of people. Inheritance tax, California does not have an inheritance tax. Hasn't had one since 1982. A number of states have gotten rid of inheritance taxes. However, a lot of states are about bankrupt, including California. Wouldn't be surprised to see some changes take place here. Down the bottom is how you calculate taxes, to show you how you go through the process. Page 3. What happens when you make your will? You exercise your right to decide how your property will be distributed. You provide for your heirs in a way that you choose. This also suffices for trust. You make sure that others won't distribute your property according to their whims or uninformed opinions like the state of California. You keep your property from going to undeserving people. You can disinherit if you want. I recommend if you've got a son or a child, a daughter that's walked away from the Lord, you don't want to leave them any inheritance, I recommend you leave them something. $1, $5. So they can't contest and say you forgot them. See? I had a guy at a seminar not long ago in Ohio. He said to me, I'm going to disinherit my unregenerate son. And I said, really? I said, I just got a quick question for you. What happens if your son gets right with the Lord at your funeral? You didn't have an answer for that. Number 2, you provide for the heirs in the way that you choose. Number 3, you can make sure others won't distribute your property under their own informed opinions. Number 4, you keep your property from going to undeserving people. Number 5, you use a channel of written law to permit charitable requests. Don't forget the Lord's work in your estate planning. By the grace of God, we have what we have. Start with your local church. Number 6, you provide guardians for your children if they're minors. Number 7, you avoid misunderstandings among your heirs. People I know, biological brothers and sisters who don't speak today. Because the way mom and dad's antiques and heirlooms were divided up when mom and dad died. I witnessed a fistfight in a funeral home in Cedarville, Ohio, between two brothers who were fighting over dad's gun collection. He's laying there in a casket. We had to take him outside, break it up. You say that doesn't happen. Are you kidding me? I could write a book on what's happened to families in fighting over money. It is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Number 8, you have the final word in fulfilling your goals, a good provider, a good citizen, a good steward of your property. Whatever, you don't have a will, you die intestate. We talked about that. State of California steps in. You have a will now, check to see, has there been a change in your marital status? Has there been a change in your health status? Maybe you've been diagnosed with something. You want to make sure your estate planning's in order. Have you moved to another state since making your will? Wills are a state-by-state issue. A will drafted in California is different than a will drafted in Arizona. So if you've had a will drafted in Arizona and you've moved to California, you probably want to have it checked by a California attorney to make sure it fits California rules. Number 4, your beneficiary is still living, still worthy. You want to make some changes there, maybe. Number 5, you want to keep the same executor, guardian, or trustee. Number 6, do you still own the specific properties that were mentioned? I did a seminar in Boise, Idaho. A widower was there. He had 2 apartment buildings. He had 2 sons. And he said in the seminar, and he had it set up so when he dies, he's in his late 80s, one son gets one apartment building, the other son gets the other apartment building. He sold the one apartment building and forgot to amend his estate planning. And when he saw it, he went, uh-oh, because there would have been some unhappy campers if he died. Number 7, is your family secure enough to permit you to switch some bequests from them to the charitable organization, the Lord's work? We've told my daughter and my son that the more they get on their way financially, my son-in-law's a physician, my son's a CPA, we've told him, as you get on financially, we're probably going to leave more to the Lord's work and less to you guys, and they won't come to my seminars anymore. They're getting their legs cut off. Number 8, you may need to review your will of trust and with your attorney. Number 4, page 4. Critical page. Several years ago, I would say 25 to 30 years ago, I was doing a seminar in Kalispell, Montana. Flew in on Saturday. 2 women had just become widows in that church within the previous couple of weeks. Didn't know what to do. They asked me to stay over another day and meet with these 2 widows. So I did. Met with them on Monday. These gay ladies, they did not know up from down, which is not uncommon. So I helped them through all that. Came home Monday night, sat down with my wife at the dining room table, and I said, honey, my plane would have hit a mountain coming across the Northwest. Would you have known exactly what to do? She wasn't so sure. So we sit down and put this checklist together. We answered all these questions on a piece of 8.5 by 14 yellow pad paper. We took all the documents that pertain to our marriage, my life insurance policies, the deed to the property, title to the two cars. She had a car, I had a car. Title to the two cars. All our pension plan documents. Put them in a pile. Put a rubber band around them. Answered all these questions and wrapped the answers around those documents. Put them in our safe deposit box. Something happens to me. She goes to the safe deposit box, gets those documents out, puts them down on the dining room table. After she grieves, of course. 5 minutes. Glad she's not here. I get the look. She knows where everything is at. She knows exactly what she has to do. You need to do the same thing. My wife and I, we travel together all the time, are killed in a common accident. My son, the successor trustee of our trust. He's on the signature card of our safe deposit box. I have gone through that stuff with him. He understands. He gets the paperwork, puts it on his desk. He knows exactly what to do. He knows exactly where everything is at. The minute he converts assets to cash, he can begin distributing it to himself, his sister, and the Lord's work. All of you need to sit down and go through this checklist and answer these questions. They will really help you. Bottom to bottom, a lot of time and money could be spared. Your departed spouse could return for 20 minutes and answer a few simple questions. Number 15, I have an inventory of my assets. I have an inventory. I have a spreadsheet on my desk that I update every 31st of the month through the 30th of the previous month. So February 1st, I'll have an update in my spreadsheet on everything, where it's at, what it consists of. My wife knows where that's at. My son knows where that's at. All the documents pertaining to our marriage in that safe deposit box. Folks, that's stewardship. I've had some heartbreaking stories. I had a guy in Kansas. He died, pastor. Died last June. 6 months before he died. Unbeknownst to his widow, he canceled all his life insurance. She had no clue. And when he dies, she goes to life insurance. There is no life insurance. Pretty sad stuff. Page 5. Now let's talk about the living trust. My wife and I, 20-some years ago, became concerned about the probate process in California. We had lived in the state of Washington for 10 years. The probate process in the state of Washington is very simple. In fact, I think it's the simplest of the 50 states. I think Indiana is second, but Washington is a very simple probate state. So when we moved down here, and I was doing these seminars, I know California law. So I wanted a trust for California. And so my wife and I had a trust drafted by an attorney for us. My wife and I are co-trustees. It's called the Rickard Family Trust. We are co-trustees. We control the trust. It is our trust. If I die, she's survivor trustee. Nothing changes. She can do anything she wants with that trust. She can change it. She can do whatever she wants. She can spend the money, whatever she wants. My wife and I die. The trust while my wife and I are alive is revocable. It's changeable. When my wife and I die, it becomes irrevocable. My son, the successor trustee, he cannot change our trust. His job is to carry out our wishes in the trust. We tell him what to do in the trust. My wife and I then funded the trust with our deeded and titled assets. My wife and I don't own our condominium in Newhall anymore. It's owned by the Rickard Family Trust. But we control the trust. My checking account. If you would see one of my checks at the top, it says Rickard Family Trust, James W. or Joni Rickard Trustees. The minute I deposit a check into the checking account, it's owned by the Rickard Family Trust. Savings account, Rickard Family Trust. I have a little bit of stock. Gave a copy of my trust agreement to our stockbroker. He buys stock, he buys it in the name of the Rickard Family Trust. Had some life insurance. My life insurance at that time, the beneficiary was not my wife. It was the Rickard Family Trust. Why is that? Let's say I have $500,000 of life insurance, and I die, and she's the beneficiary. So the check comes in, and she puts it in her checking account, and she dies. She got a probate problem. How do you get the $500,000 to the heirs? Through probate. You change the beneficiary to the Rickard Family Trust. I die, the Rickard Family Trust gets the $500,000. She's the successor trustee, survivor trustee. She can do anything she wants with that money. She can go on a cruise, she can do whatever she wants, but it's owned by the trust. There's no probate. Let me say it to you this way. A living trust at death totally circumvents the probate process. You've taken probate out of your life. Let me say it to you this way. If you die with a will, California prepared will, your prepared will. You die with a will. You pass your ownership of your assets to your heirs under probate law. The probate court is in trust, is in charge. The probate court probates your will. They're in control. If you have a living trust and you die, you pass the ownership of your assets by contract. My wife and I have written a legal binding contract honored by all 50 states that takes probate out of our life. Let's say you have property here and property in Arizona, and you die with a will. You got probate here, you got probate in California, you need an attorney here, you need an attorney in California, Arizona. So let's say you put both properties into the family trust and you die. You don't have probate in either state. You need an attorney in either state because you're passing that ownership by contract to your heirs. Folks, that's pretty slick, let me tell you. Now look at your handout. Advantages of revocable living trust. Bypasses probate. Living trust takes probate out of your life. Letter B, there will be minimal or no attorney fees at death. The attorney fees are when you have the trust prepared. In Anthony's case, it's $750. Letter C, distribution can take place immediately. My wife and I die going home this afternoon. The minute my son, successor trustee, converts any assets to cash, and there's cash now, he can begin distributing it to his sister, himself, and the Lord's work. There's no delay, because there's no probate involved. Letter D, you can revoke it or change it at any time. A living trust is changeable. It's revocable as long as one of the primary people are involved, are still alive, my wife or I. Letter E, it's confidential. One of you pass away with a will, we go down to county courthouse in a matter of a few weeks and get a copy of your will if you had one, because a will is a matter of public record. Trusts are confidential to the heirs and the trustees. Nobody else has access. That's huge right there. How do charlatans get access to widows? Because they get access to that will, see? Letter F. Very difficult to successfully contest a trust over a will. Why? It's a contract. It's a contract. People contest. You can contest anything. You can have a lawsuit on anything. Very difficult to contest a trust successfully because it's a contract. People contest wills because they use the excuses, my mom and dad forgot me. My mom and dad were coerced. My mom and dad were not of sound mind. We've had a living trust for over 20 years. They may be able to convince somebody that I wasn't of sound mind, but I'm going to get away with their mother. Disadvantages of revocable living trust. All property you wish to be distributed to the trust must be put into the trust. In other words, you have to fund the trust. Anthony helps you do that. Letter B, the trust must be maintained over your lifetime. You have to remember, if you buy a piece of home, if you buy a piece of property, whatever, you've got to remember the title and the name of the trust. Okay? We had a home in Indiana. It was owned by the trust. So the Rickard Family Trust. And we had it deeded, quit claim deeded in for the trust in Indiana. We sold the home. All I had to do was have a copy of the trust agreement, sit down with the title company. My wife signed as trustee, simple as a whistle. Got a check made out to the Rickard Family Trust, and we were on our way. There was no fuss. Letter C, it's more expensive to create. Wills are 500 or more. Trust, guys, can be $1,500 to $3,000. Depends on how complex you are. If you got somebody like Anthony do for $750, I just want to say that's a deal. And I would not recommend him if I didn't know him and trust him as a godly man. And I know him through Grace Church. Last page. Powers of attorney. Powers of attorney. I want to talk about the third one and the fourth one and then the last one. My dad was diagnosed with a heart condition. Died in 1986. I visited him in 1985. He said, Jim, I do not want to be on life support. So he said, I want you to have my health care power of attorney. So he gave me his health care power of attorney. We got it documented, signed, notarized, all of that. Dad had a heart attack, hospital, University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. I fly to Detroit, go to the hospital, meet with two cardiologists. He's brain dead. He's gone. Meet with my mother, my brother, my sister. And I said, folks, I have his durable part of health. We need to unplug him. And we all agreed. We unplugged him. We had to be in a room and they did it. And we sat there while the monitor went. It's pretty tough. Pretty tough. 5 years later, my mother was diagnosed with dementia. So I told my brother, she was living in Cedarville at the time, and I told my mother, my brother, when he called me, I said, go down and get mother's durable power of attorney. So he did. Durable means durable through incapacitation. Power of attorney ceases at incapacitation. So we went down and got her DPOA. My brother transacted business for my mother until she died in 2007. The bottom, you got that new HIPAA agreement, HIPAA. That just came out about 2007. You realize, I'm in a hospital. I'm trapped. I'm in Jacksonville, Florida, wherever. And I'm hospitalized. You realize my wife cannot get access to my health condition without a signed HIPAA agreement. That's tough. So, Anthony will prepare HIPAA agreements for you. My wife had HIPAA agreements that Anthony prepared for my wife and for I. We copied them. I have a set in the glove box of my car. She has a set in the glove box of her car. My daughter has a set in her home. My son has a set in his home. Something happens to my wife and I, or my wife or I, any one of them have access to our health condition. All they have to do is fax or email a copy of the HIPAA agreement to the hospital or to the doctor. That's huge, folks. So we talked about a lot. We're talking about trust. Pour over will, P-O-U-R, is a safety mechanism. In case you forgot to do something in the trust, it passes through the pour over will. Guardianship cannot be done by trust because the judge has to be involved. So guardianship issues are handled by a pour over will. And you nominate guardians. So the pour over will is a protection mechanism in case you forgot to do something and that you should have done on trust. You buy a home and you don't tether into your names and you die. Well, it pours through the pour over will through probate into the trust. So that's the pour over. So you got living trust, you got pour over will, you got durable power of the health, you got durable power of attorney, you got the HIPAA agreement. People, I have faced all of them except the HIPAA agreement. So will you. It's not a matter of it's a matter of when. Procrastinating is not the issue. Once you get it done, you got it done. My wife and I sit down every other year during the bowl games. And we reread our trust to make sure it does what we still want it to do. We look at the percentage to the heirs. We look at the percentage of the ward's work. We look at the place in the ward's work we want it to go. We review all of that just to remind ourselves. Typically, people will have a trust prepared and they'll put it in their safe deposit box and forget about it. We don't review it. We review ours every 2 years. So should you. Just as a reminder. So a lot of times people say, oops, I forgot about that. I need to amend that. You can get it amended. Okay. All this is on that CD set. The first half, the first CD is the family finance. Second CD is the estate planning set. That's all there. Questions? Yes?
Yeah. Is there a limitation on small estate if you have...
Yes, $100,000 or less in California doesn't have to be probated. Yeah. Good question. Yes. Yes.
Did your CD kept the same one as, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago?
What's that?
Your CD that you're selling?
I updated them. Yeah, that was the tapes. Is that the one you got? Oh, then this is the same one. Was it that long ago, 3 or 4 years ago? Man, you're getting older. My pastor called me the day to come to this church. I said, I just entered church, Tom. No, why don't you come to my church? I was just there. I have a 4-year rule. He says, 1987, Jim. Whoa.
Yeah, can I just clarify what you just answered him? So if you're saying that, you know, your total assets and everything is under 100,000,
you don't have to probate. It's not probated.
So then you don't need a trust.
Right. Okay. Now, if you have minor children, you want guardianship issues. That's a simple will.
Well, you would still need a will. Yeah. Way, right.
Right. And who gets what?
And HIPAA and everything else.
Yes.
Just to clarify, that may be something that if you have a house, and that because of the value, even though you only have a net value there, there's a gross value.
There's a value there, sure. Yeah. You know, and again, pension plans don't pass to a trust. Pension plans pass by beneficiary. You put a pension plan in a trust, the IRS could take the position you've redeemed your pension plan, you pay tax on it. So pension plans. Now, let me tell you something else. Let's say you're worth $600,000. Life insurance, pension plan, value of a home. And let's say you want to give $200,000 to your church. And you want to give the rest of it to your siblings, your kids. What portion do you give to the church? Pension plans are taxed. Pension plans are deferred. They're not tax exempt. So if you have a pension plan and you leave it to your kids, when they take it out, they're going to pay tax on that pension plan. The other part of your estate is not taxable. Inheritances are tax-free, except for pension plans. So let's say you got $200,000 in a 401k. What part of your estate would you leave to your church? The pension plan. Because charities don't pay tax. So you leave your pension plan to the church, you give your other assets to your kids, then it's all tax-free. Government doesn't get a dime. That's how you do that. Yes?
What's involved or what does it cost to maintain the trust if you add property to it?
You don't have to change the trust. Let's say you've got a trust, and you have the beneficiary spilled out, and you buy a piece of property. You deed the property into the name of the trust. The trust doesn't change.
Okay.
Yeah, it's already taken care of by the title to the property. Yeah, the main reason you'd want to change a trust, let's say you've got 3 kids, and you're going to leave them a third each, and the Lord pricks your heart that you decide to leave a quarter of it to your church. You want to amend it for that. Quarter, 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 quarter. That's when you would amend it.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
If you already own a home and then you get a living trust, how do you transfer?
Down to the title company.
Okay.
Down to the title company with a copy of your trust and the description of your property. So you're in Proposition 13 here. And that doesn't change. You just got to remember you title it in the same legal description as it's listed on your property tax statement. Then there's no change in property Proposition 13. Taxes stay the same. Yeah, no problem. No problem. If you have a mortgage, doesn't change a thing. Because now the trust owns the home, the mortgage goes with the home. If you co-sign, you're still a co-signer. So you don't have to change a thing in the trust. Yes?
So if I have a piece of property that I acquired before I was married, and it's in my name only, and if I pass away, does that have to go with...
Are you married now?
Yeah.
Do you love him or are you mad at him? You want him to share that property, you need to put his name on the deed.
He's not
going to
get it if I don't.
Well, it depends on what your will or trust says. If your trust makes him the beneficiary, then he would get it. But because it's in your name, it'd go through probate. You put it in your trust, it's owned by the trust, and you'd both share in the trust.
So if I put it in the trust, then I don't have to change
it. No, you don't. Just change the property to the name of the trust. Yeah. I had a lady ask me a while back if I believed in cremation. I get some weird questions. And I said, I never thought about it. She said, I want to know what you did. This is huge. Well, there's about 1,000 people. And I said, I don't know. I've never thought about it. She said, I want to know what you believe in cremation. She's sitting next to her husband. And I said, I haven't thought about it. She said, no, that's not satisfactory. I want to know. I said, okay. I said, ma'am, have there been times in your marriage when he has burnt you up? Yeah, well, here's your chance to get even. Fry the rascal. He didn't laugh. Then I had a widow said, my husband was a lazy rascal. He wouldn't work. He's lazy. He died. She had him cremated. She put his ashes in an hourglass. Work, you rascal, work. Isn't that great? Some of you didn't laugh. Come on. Work, you rascal, work.
How do you do that?
You go back to Anthony. If you use Anthony, you go back to your attorney. What would you charge for an amendment?
Anywhere between $0 and $200.
Zero to what?
Anywhere between zero. If it's a simple change, there's actually ways to do it, complimentary. Okay. If it's more complex, it could be up to $200 to make a change.
If it's complex. What would be complex?
Complex would be anything that creates a domino effect in the trust. So anything that requires maybe changing a successor trustee, then who's going to replace that person or changing a beneficiary or so on. A simple change would be, I want to give $10,000 to Faith Bible Church.
And that would be no charge.
There'd be no charge for that.
No charge for the rest of their life? The rest of their kids' lives?
Yeah, that's something we do complimentary. We've been doing for 15 years.
Okay.
Complimentary, so.
All right. Yes. How about what?
Yeah, we do. Unfortunately, my average client age in 99 was 75, so we've settled a lot of estates. In an hour, we can tell you what to do and how to do it, and then a few phone calls along the way. We also do that complimentary. So most attorneys, $2,000 to $3,000 is what they charge you to tell you what we tell you in an hour.
Yes.
So did I hear you correctly? As far as the guardianship, that's just a suggestion.
What's the suggestion?
As far as the guardianship, who's going to take your children?
So you nominate them.
You nominate them.
Your nomination has carries a lot of weight. Judges want to do what you wanted to have done. The only problem today, there are so many liberal judges. That judge gets in his ear by somebody, like somebody living on your block, that you're a religious nut. And a liberal judge doesn't like religion. Doesn't like whatever, your church, he could take that into consideration. That's what this judge did. That's rare, but it can happen. The judge does have final say. That's a protection mechanism. Let's say you and your wife passed away and you got a couple of kids and you nominated this couple to be the guardians and something popped up after your death that you were not aware of. Maybe the guy's under indictment for drug use or whatever. The judge becomes aware of that, he would protect your children. So that's why that's done that way. So it's a protection mechanism. Can it be abused? Yeah, anything can be abused. This case in Connecticut was an unusual case, but it was a case. So what these recommendations here were good recommendations. Have three. Primary one, primary two, primary three. Primary, alternate one, alternate two. It'd be hard for a judge to turn down all three. How could he do that? Yes.
Okay, so what if you are divorced and I pass away, and in my will, I have him, of course, as the first person. The kids would go to him. But once he passes away, the people that he has listed, can I put it in my will who I would recommend if anything happened to him?
You can put it in there, but whether it will hold ground or not remains to be seen. You're gone. You're dead in a doornail. Yeah. And now the kids are under his care.
Yeah.
And he does the trust or he does a will.
He has to do whatever.
It can be hard for a judge to go against his recommendation, his nomination. Yeah. That would be my guess. I'm not a judge. So you're gone. You're out of the picture.
Right.
Now the kids are under his supervision and he's accountable for those kids. And in his best interest, he feels that in the kids' best interest, that these people should be the nomination.
So it's better if we try to communicate that.
Yeah, I think you'd have a hard time trying to skip down and being successful at that, but you don't know.
Yeah.
You never know. Here.
Okay. I was going to ask, would you ever assign a beneficiary as a trust from a life insurance plan or annuities?
Would you assign a beneficiary
Would you assign?
You do the annuities. You have a beneficiary for the annuities.
Right, but would you ever assign a trust as a beneficiary to those types of funds?
Sure. Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
And what about, is there taxes on a trust?
Beneficiary of my life insurance was my wife. Beneficiary, if I'd had an annuity, would have been, I mean, the trust fund would have been the trust. Beneficiary of my annuity, if I had an annuity, would have been the trust. That's my death. Sure.
What about taxes to the trust?
Taxes to the trust. What kind of taxes? Well,
income tax, as an example.
Yeah, that taxable income passes to your personal tax return. So if there was any taxes, it would be claimed on your last tax return. If your wife survives you, then they would be claimed on her tax return. Passes through, like a sub-S corporation. You had a question back over here. No? He's itching his nose. Yes?
Yeah. Would there be a benefit to someone like me who doesn't have a lot of... My wife and I, we don't have a lot of capital.
Do you have children?
We have one, yeah.
Yeah, you want a will for sure for the guardianship issue.
Yeah.
If you don't have hardly any of an estate,
right.
You want a will for the guardianship issue. Maybe a trust later on.
But a trust wouldn't be recommended for me, right?
Well, it depends on what your assets consist of. Your assets under... Okay, well then, no. You just want a will for guardianship.
Okay.
And you can go into LegalZoom.com and for, I think, it's $69.95, download a will kit and do the will for the kid, for your guardianship. Sure, you could do that. No reason for you to pay an attorney for that. Yes?
Well, I'm convinced. I need one of these.
Okay.
What's the next step? Is do we sign up?
Fill out that sheet.
Yeah.
Give it to us.
Okay.
Anthony will call you within...
My staff will get a hold of you within 2 weeks.
Within 2 weeks. He will come to meet with you as a group. You can see it on your hand out there. He's going to meet with you as a group on February 21st. And he'll take you through the holes, all the stuff he needs for your trust. Then he'll take that stuff back. He'll have the trust prepared. When it's done, he gets his notebook. He will call you, meet with you individually, and take you through it. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm kind of going back to that $100,000. Anything under that does not have to be probated. And you mentioned that retirement funds don't count towards that because your beneficiary.
Retirement funds passed by beneficiary.
What about a life insurance policy?
Passes by beneficiary.
So those two, you can take those out of the equation when figuring
yes.
out your.
Yeah. Passed by beneficiary. Now, your beneficiary can be the trust. But yeah, typically they pass by beneficiary. Yes, ma'am.
So if you're divorced, then it'd be in your best interest if your will is made out to someone other than your ex-husband to get it in a trust fund so that he cannot contest it?
Yeah. So well, it depends on what you want to set up a trust fund for your child.
The children, yes.
Yeah, you could set up a trust fund for the children, but who's going to manage it? Who's going to be the trustee for those children? Hello? You have to figure that out.
Right.
Yeah. You want him to be the trustee of the trust fund?
I don't know.
And yeah, that's the kind of issues you've got to grapple
with. Yeah.
See, somebody like Anthony can help you think through that.
Right.
Yeah, there's ways. You can restrict it. You can restrict it for the kids. But I, you know, who's the trustee? You know, if you've got issues with your ex-husband, I'm not sure I would recommend that he be the trustee.
Yeah.
But here's another issue. I always had a policy.
It's not an anger thing. It's a financially responsibility, you know, being financially responsible that...
Well, if a trustee mismanages a trust fund for a minor, who holds that trustee accountable? The minors do it. They become adults. Rarely happens.
Okay.
It rarely happens. Yeah, here's the thing. When people would come up to me years ago and said, would you and your wife be guardians for our children? I would say, if I'm willing to do that, then you make me trustee of the funds. I have responsibility for your kids. I don't want to go to a third party for permission to spend money on those kids. If you trust me with your kids, trust me with your money. So that's an issue here you'd have to think about.
Right.
You're going to force him to go to a third party to get money to raise those kids. Depends on how mad you are. You probably wouldn't want to do that. That makes life tough. What happens if he moves with the kids to Florida? Now you got a trustee back here managing those funds?
Right.
I don't know if I'd recommend that.
So in a blended family situation, if my husband and I were to do a trust and a will now with our 17-year-old daughter, do I need to give my ex-husband permission for him to be the guardian of her?
I don't know those laws. Do you know those laws? No, I don't know. Judge would have to decide that. I really don't know that. Has he adopted the child?
No. But
see, if he adopted the child, then it's a clear.
But it's 17.
17, it's not going to be an issue.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Because once he turns 18, it's no issue. So you're only talking how many months? I don't think I'd be that concerned. Yes?
Is there a standard rate for wills?
Yeah, wills about close to the same price. Okay. 507. That's why you don't want to do a will. You want to do a living trust. Mm-hmm. Living trust is the way to go. You want to take California out of your life. I could carry that further. Is this being recorded? Yes.
As far as like, trying to figure out that $100,000 on an asset on whether or not to do a trust, are we just looking at, do you look at like just the asset or the assets minus liabilities is $100,000?
Good. Anthony, go ahead.
Yeah, actually, that rule, you probably don't know, actually just changed. It's actually now $150,000.
Okay.
But it's $150,000 of total non-contractual estate or $50,000 of real estate. So if you meet one of those requirements, then your estate in California has to go through probate before getting to your beneficiaries. What we're talking about is any assets that pass through probate. So if you have life insurance, as long as there's properly named beneficiaries, there's no probate there. If you have annuities, as long as there's properly named beneficiaries, no probate. Any retirement accounts you have, your 401ks, your 403bs, any retirement plan, there is no probate there. So all of that does not count towards your $150,000. But if you have $150,000 or $50,000 of real estate, then that pie has to go through probate, even though your retirement funds, your life insurance, your annuities do not go through probate. You can have part of your estate go through probate, part of your estate not go through probate, and those are the limits.
Yeah.
Can you answer the question about if you have debt and assets?
Yeah, why not?
Assets mean after they paid off the debt?
It's based on your gross estate. Yeah. Probate is based on your gross estate, not your net estate.
Right.
Which means
it doesn't matter what your mortgage is. If you have a $100,000 home and you owe $100,000 on it, they still count the $100,000 towards probate.
Yeah. Yes, Pam.
If you buy a house for $300,000, the car and you take, and you now your house is for $200,000, and you die, are you passing on that debt to whoever is in?
Only if they co-sign. My kids do not inherit my debt unless they co-sign for me.
Okay.
It goes away. The creditors would sell your assets to satisfy what debt you owe, and they'd probably come up short. So if I owe $150,000 on my home that's worth $100,000, and that's all I got, and I die, the creditors would come after the $100,000. They'd have to eat $50,000. It doesn't pass on to my heirs unless my son or daughter-in-law or whatever co-signed, then they would be liable. That's why five times in Proverbs we're warned about co-signing. Don't strike hands. Don't be a surety for debt. You know, you're guaranteeing your assets for someone else's debt. It's not smart. Not smart. In fact, Scripture pretty strongly prohibits that. Five times in Proverbs.
Co-signing on educational funding for your kids, do you recommend life insurance on them that would make you the beneficiary?
You know, I counsel, I tell kids at Masters when I speak in chapel, nothing wrong with educational debt. That's the best one in your future. Protect that debt with life insurance? Sure, that's not a bad idea. Do you get life insurance with the beneficiary of the educational debt? Some of it. Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's a good thought. Educational debt, money borrowed for education, does not go away with bankruptcy. A lot of youngsters don't realize that. They think, oh, I graduate, I'm going to have $80,000 in student loans, I'm going to file bankruptcy. Uh-uh. Student loans don't go away with bankruptcy. For that reason.
They're going to get their pound of flesh. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I don't know if you'd be able to answer this. This might be an Anthony question, but I had at one point, I'm legally separated, but my divorce is not finalized. And when I went to have a will made out, I was told not to because it doesn't matter what I say in my will until I'm finalized, he gets it anyway.
Probably true.
So, this is...
When is it going to be finalized?
Who knows? In his hands. His idea.
Yeah, that's not my area. I'm not sure that's your area either. No, that's complex. That's your attorney needs to deal with that. Yeah, that stuff gets complex. You know, second marriages get complex. They do. Now you got two separate families involved. That does get complex. That's why you need really good counsel for that kind of stuff. That can get really messy. You know, I've seen wars. You know, what I see a lot, my grandfather refuses to do a will or a trust. Some guys say, well, they're superstitious. If I do a will or trust, I'll die. This guy Christian? Unbelievable. I tell people who have relatives, especially grandparents, that refuse to get their estate planning done, I say, play that second CD for them. It'll wake them up. And I've gotten a lot of calls from people have done and said, boy, thank you for that. That really got his attention, for her attention. How many people today, they don't trust anybody. A lot of them. They came out of the old school, and I'm not going to do a trust. I'm not going to do a will. Nuts to them. Let them take care of it when I die. That's not smart. And you get that stubbornness, and I say, play that second CD.
Questions?
Yes?
We have adult children.
I have adult children.
Okay, so if you have adult children, is it wise to let them know what your will?
That's a good question. Is it wise to let your adult children know? My wife and I have chosen to do that. We have sat down with my daughter, her husband, my son, his wife, and we have explained to them what things consist of and what they will get in inheritance, and it probably changed their prayer life. That's a joke. We've told them the basic parameters. Now, my son, who's successor trustee, he knows the details. Yeah, now, you know, it depends on your kids. You know the nature of your kids, whether it's wise or not. You know. Here's another thing, folks. You're talking about trustees, successors or trustees. You don't want co-trustees after you die. My wife and I, it's fine. But for us to die and name my son and daughter as co-trustees, what if they don't agree? If you're going to name one, name three, they can vote. I know of a farm in Kansas that's been tied up for 7 years because two brothers can't agree. Brother lives next to the farm, wants to sell the farm. But brother living in Florida does not want to sell the farm. He's emotionally attached. So they're at a standoff. Been going on for 7 years, and in the meantime, the meter's running. Silly. The parents should have made the son who lives next to the farm the trustee. Then they sell it. If the son in Florida wants to buy it, it's his choice. Say, all you do when you say, I don't want to find a widow, so will say to me, I don't want to offend my daughter if I don't put her as a co-trustee with her sister. Big whoop. You die, you're dead. What do you care? Name the one daughter. Wow. It's like the question I get in my seminars. What do you do with the verse, neither a borrower nor a lender be? I just got this last week. What do you do with that verse? I said, well, that's great. Give me the text. I don't remember. I know you don't. That's Shakespeare. He's dead in a doornail. He wasn't inspired. Oh, amazing. Oh, I love it. Yes, sir.
Just to clarify, it's not a and or. It's a, as I'm understanding, a trust also...
Yes, there's a pour over will with the living trust.
Right, so you don't have to choose one.
No, you don't have to. It's all encompassed. Yeah, you get the trust, you got the pour over will, durable power of health, durable power of attorney, HIPAA agreement, it's all done in one. You fund it with your assets, deeded and titled assets. Yeah. And Anthony does all that. Anthony does all that in a notebook and counsels people. $750? Jeez, that's a deal.
When do you pay it? When it's all done,
it's set,
ready to go?
When you die, you pay it. At your age, you'll be long gone. Now, when you complete the trust, how do you do that?
We do it up front because that's what it costs us to do it. It's my way of giving back to the Lord, so we pay for it up front. That's half of what I charge my own clients, actually.
Yeah. He does it daily. Loves our ministry and he loves the church, and it's been a great service. You know, have you done 1,000 trusts for things that I've done?
We're pushing it.
Yeah.
We're pushing it.
I've never gotten one word of complaint, folks. Not one peep. They say he's easy to work with, he's easy to understand, he does what he says he's going to do. And I'm not saying that because he's here. I'm just saying, I wouldn't lose these guys. My reputation is involved here, too. You know, Chris knows me. He knows where to find me. He knows where my skills are buried. Yeah, so I'm not going to mislead. I want a service for God's people. So I totally trust this guy.
So even if your assets wouldn't exceed $150,000, if you did a living trust or this package, you would still get the HIPAA?
Yeah,
so how much would that individually cost? It probably would cost more.
Well, there's another problem you've got. You don't know when your estate might exceed $150,000. Then you got a problem. So, for $750, why not do the trust and get all that stuff taken care of and put it out of your mind? You don't worry about it. Just read the trust every couple of years to make sure it does what you want it to do. I would recommend that. Is it needed? Is it a must? Probably not a must. Is this recommended? Yeah, I would recommend it to you because of all the other stuff that includes in it. And then you know what? He's got a responsibility. There's a law change. Supposing they drop it from 150 to 100. Now you got a problem. He'll call you. He will follow up with you and say, you know what? We need to meet. You've got a problem now. He does that for you. So you're also buying an insurance policy against future changes. It's pretty good.
I come from a blended family, so my parents usually get co-trustees. My mom's husband's children. Hearing that it's not a good idea, what would you recommend if there's a blended family and they're trying to make it fair?
There's one in every crowd. His name is Anthony. You need to sit down and talk to Anthony about that.
Okay.
That's beyond my pay grade.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
You had mentioned there, I think, when you call it, you mentioned that you already have a will and you wanted to go ahead and sign it with you guys, and you guys can do all the labor as far as changing everything over.
Well, the will becomes void, now the trust takes its place. The last document is the one document that would prevail. That's a good question because you want to make sure your family knows where your estate planning is in case something happens to you. If they can't find one, then they can assume there wasn't one. Now you're under the laws of the state of California. So if you do a trust, that's why we told our kids, we have a trust. Anthony's our attorney, the office that did it. So everybody knows where everything's at. Yes? I want to close this up.
I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time understanding because we have kids. We have children for the guardian, and you said that requires the will. Is that the pour over will?
Yeah, it's the pour over will.
Okay, so yeah. Just
P-O-U-R. Right, that would be part of your trust.
Okay.
Yeah, that would take care of the guardianship. Yes, thank you for clarifying that. You don't have a separate will. You have a pour over will. P-O-U-R. That takes care of the guardianship issue.
Jim, just for the safety deposit box, if your house burns down, versus having a file with that stuff right there?
Well, you can have a file in your home as long as it's fireproof. Okay. I have a safety deposit box at Bank of America. Yeah, I'm helping to keep them afloat. I paid for the doorknob. You've been great. Appreciate all this. Like I said, all this is on that second CD. You're welcome back there. You have one more question?
Well, thank you very much for
okay.
everything.
Thank you. You guys got a wonderful church. I love your pastor. He is a jewel. He is a jewel. You're blessed. You are really blessed. Thank you. Let me. You want to close? Yeah.
There's no mic. Mic isn't plugged in.
Okay. I want to give 2 minutes to Anthony. He's going to come and just clarify how we can get in touch with him when this session is. So Anthony, come and just tell us what the deal is for that secondary session coming up, and then we'll be dismissed. Thank you.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. I've gotten familiar with the back of your heads. 45 minutes. My name is Anthony Sicaro. I'm the president of Providence Financial, which I started back in 99. And Jim, thank you so much for the words of kindness. So the reality is I think most of you don't know Jim and what he does. Jim is the president of Stewardship Foundation that does pastor's tax returns every year for free. And he'll do 2,500 returns this year, and I think they're pushing 50,000 returns in his career. And Jim's a big believer of wills and trusts, as am I, and it's just an honor for me to be able to give back to the Lord and be able to come behind you and do the wills and trusts for you at what it costs us to do. And people always ask, how do you can't make a living and run a business with half a dozen employees if you're doing it at cost. How do you do it at cost? And the very brief answer is because that's not how I make a living. I do financial planning for my clients. As a part of financial planning and stewardship, they need to have a trust. So instead of just telling them, go ahead and go get a trust, I know that the result of that conversation, and that will never happen. Jim knows the result of that conversation, telling you all to just go get one. 95% of you won't do that. So I took it upon myself back in 99 to create a relationship with a firm that would do wills and trusts for our clients at a very reduced cost because we do a lot of the work. So I'm just turning around and passing that on to you as a ministry. I was born and raised in Grace Community Church. Pastor Chris was my junior high pastor. So I am honored to be here. I normally don't come to these sessions that Jim does, but I wanted to sit down. I haven't seen Chris for 15 years or 20 years and have a chance to have lunch with him, so we were able to catch up and so on. But this is my way and my ministry of giving back to you. And what's going to happen, here's what's going to happen from here. If you're interested in moving forward, there's sign-up sheets. I think everyone has one. They're on the back table if you don't have one. Between now and the 21st, on the 21st, we're going to be coming back. I'm going to be speaking. I'll have a couple of my staff members here to assist with us. But we're actually, in that time, we're going to just take 5 or 10 minutes and review everything Jim talked about, the difference between a will and a trust. Then we have our prototype document that you're all going to get. We'll have a few of them. We'll circulate them. You'll touch and feel and see what you're going to get. There are 12 chapters and there are 12 different documents, and every one is just as important as the other. And only one document is the trust. All the other ones either supplement the trust or are your powers of attorneys or HIPAAs or everything else. So you're going to get a touch and feel it and see it. At that time, what's going to happen is we'll go ahead and have applications there. There are many things that I can do in a group setting. I can start the process there. We save ourselves a lot of time. Instead of having to explain everything, 50 times over the phone, we can do it all at one time and start the process there. We'll have applications there. For those of you that want to move forward, bring your checkbook. We'll be ready to start at that point. But there are going to be private questions that each of you are going to have. We'll set phone calls for those questions. Usually takes 30 minutes to an hour. We'll do that over the course of the next month, depending on how many people show up and so on. But ultimately, the whole process will be done in 90 days. We'll come back here after we're all done with everything and meet with everyone here and sign them and notarize them and deliver them, and it'll be done. We'll have a checklist of homework you'll have to do, but we make the process just as simple as possible so that you can get it done. Between now and then, what's going to happen right now? You fill out the forms if you're interested in coming back. If you want to come back and learn more, there's no obligation by being there. I'm going to assume you want to move forward, but you don't have to at all. What happens now, you fill out the forms, put them on the back table, give them to myself or Jim. Between now and the next 2 weeks, 3 at the max, either Nadia or Gracie from my office are going to contact you and get your address, confirm that you're going to be there, and mail you a packet of information. Got information about me so you can learn a little bit more about our firm. It's got my card, it's got brochures, it's got websites, it's got my bio, it's got everything in there. And then there's a questionnaire in there, I think it's 3 or 4 pages that we're going to ask you to fill out and bring with you. I think it's, say, 15, 20 minutes to fill out. It's got your financial information. It has everything we need so that we can help you move forward. We're just going to ask you to fill it out with you and bring it with you to the trust, so if you did, to the seminar. So if you decide you want to move forward, then just give that back to us at that point. And then we'll move forward from there. So you'll be hearing, those of you that turn in the sign-up form, will be hearing from my office within the next 2 to 3 weeks, just to firm up the date and so on. Bring your friends and family. For the older individuals in here that have kids, bring your kids. They've got young kids, your grandkids, bring them. If you're younger in here, bring your parents if they don't have wills and trusts. We get that question all the time. How do we start this conversation with my parents? That's an awkward thing. Well, this makes it really easy if you're going and you can bring your parents with you. The price of $750 is available to you and anyone you know. I'm just not going to create a price war. We normally charge $1,500 for our own clients. So
With that said, anything else? Anyone else?
I would say don't rule out the adult children, too.
I'm sorry.
I would say don't rule out bringing your adult children here, too.
Absolutely.
I lost a brother just recently that didn't have any of that.
Absolutely. And even if they don't need a trust, they do need a will, they need powers of attorney, they need advance directives, there's a lot that really everyone universally needs, even if it's not a trust. So, yeah, adult children, for sure. So. Yes, ma'am.
On the 21st, about how long would you need?
Usually we get the whole thing done in 2 hours, in 2.5 hours, if there are questions. We'll spend the first 45 minutes recapping, going through every document in that folder, very specifically what it does, how it works, how the will works with the trust. And then what we'll wind up doing is for those who want to stick around, we'll go through the application together and fill out what we can publicly. So give yourself 2 hours, you'll be in good shape. So, perfect. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.